Greetings, friends, and welcome as we gather again around the old parlor radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to join me for another hour-long trip down memory lane, and I bring you some of the great radio plays of yesteryear. This week, I am again bringing you two great Halloween radio classics. Let's start off with a spooky episode from The Roy Rogers Show. Featuring the King of the Cowboys himself, The Roy Rogers Show ran from November 21, 1944, until July 21, 1955, switching back and forth between NBC and Mutual. Along with Rogers himself, the series starred Roy's wife Dale Evans and Pat Brady as Roy and Dale's sidekick. Christian Science Monitor described the series best as, quote, "a little song, a little writing, a little shooting, and a girl to be saved from hazard." While this sounds cliche today, it was a winning format back in the day. Today's episode was first heard at 8 p.m. on Thursday, October 30th, 1952 on NBC, and is titled The Wailing Gold Mine. Sounds like a perfect Halloween story. Enjoy.
It's the Roy Rogers Show.
Happy trails to you. It's nice to meet again. Happy trails to you. Until the journey's end.
Most Grape Nuts Flakes, the great 2-minute energy cereal, brings you The Roy Rogers Show. Transcribed on the Double R Bar Ranch with Pat Brady and the Queen of the West, Dale Evans.
Happy trails to you. Time to ride again.
And here he is, in person, the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers.
Well, howdy, folks. You know, being a cowboy, you need lots of energy. That's why Grape Nuts Flakes is the cereal I like for strength and energy. Just 2 minutes after you eat a big bowl full, that whole wheat energy starts going to work for you. Try Grape Nuts Flakes, Buckaroos. They're great. And now, seeing it's the night before Halloween, well, just listen.
Dale Evans, the proprietress of the Eureka Cafe in Mineral City, is known as a mighty good businesswoman. But this evening, she's concluding a rather unusual deal.
There you are, sir. $250.
Well, thank you right smart, ma'am, and a couple of hoopty-doos. You've got such a pretty honest face, I ain't even going to bother to count the money.
Well, thank you.
Besides, I seen you count it. Now, here's your map.
Gee, a map to a lost gold mine. You're sure there's no catch to this now?
Little lady, if you don't find gold there, my name ain't Nugget Norman.
Well, I'll need at least $2,000 in a few weeks, and... Well, you're sure I'm not depriving you of anything by buying this map?
Ma'am, I'm just too old to pack into Boulder Canyon. Besides, I've had my fun in life.
You know, this map looks sort of hard to follow.
Well, it's an old map. But you get to Boulder Canyon and keep your wits about you, little lady, and there's no telling what'll happen.
Pat, did you ever hear of anything like it?
I sure did, Roy. What are we laughing at?
Well, Dale's fallen for one of the oldest petty larceny tricks in the whole West. She bought a map to the Halloween gold mine.
The Halloween gold mine? The one that wails? Oh, sister.
I fail to see what's so funny.
No kidding, Dave. Haven't you ever heard the story of the Halloween mine in Boulder Canyon?
No.
Tell her, Pat. I just haven't got the heart.
Well, the way my pappy told it to me, there was a real slick young con man named Corky Lewis operating in these parts about 50 years ago. Pappy said he was a happy-go-lucky sort of a fella. He could sing and dance, crack jokes, play the fiddle. Why, everybody liked him.
They were sorry for it later, though, because Corky planted a few $1,000s worth of gold nuggets in a cave somewhere in Boulder Canyon, told the people he'd made a big strike, then sold stock in the mine. It wasn't a mine at all.
I don't see what either of you are driving at.
Well, Dale, ever since then, maps to this lost cache of nuggets have been turning up all over the West.
And a story has sprung up that the darn cave they're supposed to be in makes a noise, a wailing noise. You know, I'd like to hear a wailing gold mine.
Well, I don't care. I'm going to Boulder Canyon, and I trust that nice old man who sold me the map.
Oh, what was his name, Dale?
Yes. He said if I didn't find gold there, his name wasn't Nugget Norman.
Said if you didn't find gold there, his name was... Do you think that that could be a misleading statement, Roy?
Well, I don't know about women, I declare. I just don't know about them. But if Dale insists on going to Boulder Canyon, then all three of us are going. Because as soon as I can prove to her that it's a fake, I want to go after the old man who sold her the map. This campsite will work out fine. We'll have to go on foot when it comes daylight, though.
Yep. Little old Nellie Bell can't climb boulders like these.
I can hardly wait. According to the map, the mine is a couple of miles further in.
Well, that map doesn't make much sense. I hope we don't have to go through all the caves in this canyon. Must be 500 of them.
Well, the map's clear to me.
You know, if there was such a thing as a whaling gold mine, this canyon would be a fine place for it. You know, it's sort of spooky place, ain't it?
Gosh, isn't it, though? Those shadows the big boulders cast are just plain weird. They kind of give me the chills.
Pat, throw a little more wood on the fire, will you? The lady's cold.
Oh, sure, Roy. Maybe I could find some whaling wood and we could have a whaling campfire. Of all the silly things I have... Wait a minute.
Roy, what was that? Roy, I'm scared.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Well, you're a couple of fine Westerners. Don't even know a coyote when you hear one.
Oh, it's a coyote.
Why, sure, it's a coyote. I knew it all the time.
Oh, sure. Now, you'd better crawl into your sleeping bags and get some shut-eye. Bullet and I will stand the first watch.
Imagine Roy and Dale chasing off down that canyon, following that silly map and leaving me here. Sure doesn't seem to be anyone around to steal our equipment.
Oh, me. Nellie Bell, if you could only talk.
No, I guess you can't. Well, as long as they're looking in caves, I guess I might as well go through the one we're camped outside of. Bullet, now you keep one eye open and call me if you need me. Ah, shucks, you're as bored as I am. Women can lead you on the darndest wild goose chases. I don't know why Roy's humoring Dale like this. Say, it's kind of dark in here. Oh, cows will have wings and bears will have tails when anyone finds a cave that wails. Oh, boats will have wheels and jeeps will have sails when anyone finds a cave that... Oh, that darned old coyote again. Gee, for a minute there, I thought... Oh, wait a minute. Coyotes don't live in caves, do they? Oh, Roy. Oh, Dale. Oh, Nellie Bell.
Well, this adventure's mighty exciting, hey, listeners? And here's something every bit as exciting. The new Roy Rogers King of the Cowboys pop-out trading cards offered you by Post Cereals, free of extra cost. There are 36 different pictures in this wonderful series. Real-life pictures of Roy, Dale, Trigger, Bullet, and Pat in exciting action. And here's why these cards are so extra special. You see, the main part of each picture pops right out, easy as you please. You have lifelike two-dimensional figures that stand up by themselves. Great for decorating your room or club headquarters. And don't forget, you send no box tops, no money. These Roy Rogers cards are free of extra cost.
At your grocer's, just look for the trading card packages of these famous Post cereals. Crinkles, Raisin Bran, Grape Nuts Flakes, Bran Flakes, Sugar Crisp, and Post Toasties. Each package brings you one of these wonderful cards. Imagine the terrific display you'll have with all 36. So hurry. Be the first in your gang to get your Roy Rogers King of the Cowboys pop-out trading cards. Get a good supply of your favorite Post cereals tomorrow and start collecting and swapping your Roy Rogers cards right away.
Tell you, I did hear it, Roy. It was the wildest, weirdest, scariest whale I ever heard.
Pat, I still think you were dreaming things, and I'm going to prove it to you.
I wasn't dreaming, Roy. If you're not scared, why didn't you let Dale come with us?
Well, someone has to keep an eye on the gear. If you'd done that this morning, we wouldn't be wasting our time.
I can't see where I'm going, Roy. Why don't you keep the flashlight on?
Why didn't you think to pack more than one flashlight? We'd better save the batteries in case we really need it.
Uh-oh. Hey, I tripped over something, Roy. Ouch, my toe.
Well, there's probably one rock on the floor of this cave, and you have to stumble over it.
Roy, this ain't no rock. It's a sack or something.
What? Let's see.
It's right down on my foot. Shine the flash on it.
It's a sack.
I'll get the darn thing opening. Hey, look, Roy, a lot of little rocks. Hey, they shine.
Let's see one of those things. Pat, these are gold nuggets.
Girl, they're shooting right, they're gold nuggets, and they're mine. Now, you fellas, get out of here.
Oh, just a minute, old-timer. Who are you?
Yeah, where'd you come from?
Never mind who I am, never mind where I come from. I bought myself a map that led me here, and you fellas are stealing my gold.
We bought a map, too. At least a friend of ours did. And if this really is gold, it belongs to her.
It don't belong to nobody but me.
Don't worry about us, old-timer. If you fell for that map deal, too, I think our friend would be happy to split the gold with you.
I'm not sharing my gold with anybody. Now, get, I tell you. Get.
Well, sorry, but there's something I want to find out about this cave. Pat here claims he heard a whaling noise, and I'm sort of interested.
Why, that stuff about the whaling gold mine is a lot of nonsensical hullabaloo.
It is not. Well, you may not have heard it, but I did.
I've heard all I want to hear from you fellas. Are you going to get her, or am I going to have to get help?
Well, I guess you're going to have to get help, because if this is the Whalen gold mine, I aim to find out what makes it whale.
Yeah, you bet, me too.
All right, but don't say I didn't warn you. And mind you leave my gold alone.
Well, don't worry about the gold, old-timer. It'll be here when you get back.
It better be.
Well, what do you think of that, Roy?
The old fellow probably bought a map, too, and just happened to stumble on this cave like we did.
Those nuggets. Do you think they're the ones that Confidence Man planted here years ago?
Could be. The sack was pretty old. Now, were you this deep in the cave when you heard the wail?
I don't think so. It scared me so, or I mean, it surprised me so that I don't rightly remember.
Well, come on then, let's look in a little farther.
Don't you remember me?
Why, Mr. Norman, what are you doing out here?
Tell that dog to give me a chance and I'll tell you.
Quiet, Bullet. This is an old friend of mine.
Oh, I'm so gall-darn glad I found you, little lady. You know, I shouldn't have sold you that...
You shouldn't have sold it to me?
No, ma'am, I shouldn't. Because this here Boulder Canyon is the most dangerous earthquake country there is. Why, these big rocks go bouncing around here like marble sometimes, and if anything happened to you, my conscience would just hurt me something terrible.
Earthquakes? Here?
Why, sure. I got to thinking, ma'am, and I says to myself, Nugget Norman, I says, you can't let that pretty little filly risk her life for a little measly old gold.
But we think we found the mine. One of my friends claims he heard a wailing noise right inside this cave.
Look out, little lady, look out, quick!
Oh!
Oh, I just grabbed you in the nick of time.
Boy, are you all right?
Look out, there comes another one. Oh, now, you see what you're up against?
Gosh, I'm afraid I do.
I'll tell you what, young lady, you better get in that cave and find your friends and get them out of here. I'll be waiting for you, and I'll give you back the money you paid me for the map.
Yeah, I guess I'd better.
Yeah, you better. This particular earthquake may last a few minutes yet, and you'll be safe in the cave. Better take your dog with you, too, so he'll be safe.
But what about you? Will you be all right?
Oh, sure, sure. I can take care of myself. Done it for a good many years now. Now, you run along, little lady. Run along.
Was he a little old man with a funny, high-pitched voice?
I just told you, Roy. It was the same man who sold me the map. And he came all the way to Boulder Canyon to save my life.
Well, I'm not so sure of that. Pat, it's got to be the same fellow we met here a while ago.
Yeah, must be.
Come on, we're getting out of here fast. Come on, Bullet.
Yeah, now you're talking, Roy.
But Roy, he saved me from the rocks that fell in the earthquake, and besides, Bullet liked him.
Dale, this isn't earthquake country. And I thought he was a harmless old duffer, too. But you can't always tell by the first impressions.
Well, I don't know about that, Roy. I liked Nellie Bell the minute I laid eyes on that beautiful little motor.
You just forget about Nellie Bell and let's get out of this cave.
It isn't far now. Look, there's the light from the mouth. Oh, Roy, I can't see it now.
Oh, what happened?
Well, there's a rock across the opening of the cave. Come on, everyone.
Hey, you mean one of them great big boulders fell and shut us in here?
It looks like we're shut in here, all right. I'm not so sure the boulder just fell. All right, Pat, let's get our shoulders against this thing and see if we can move it.
I'm with you, Roy.
Can't even budge it.
The thing not only weighs a ton, but it feels like it's wedged in.
Yeah, it won't even jiggle.
Maybe old Mr. Norman's still out there. He'll get help for us. Oh, Mr. Norman!
The little feller we saw sure couldn't have rolled this rock up here.
Hardly.
Mr. Norman!
There, Roy. Did you hear that? Now do you still think I was dreaming?
Roy, we're shot in the Wailing Gold Mine.
Dale, Pat, Bullet, come on. Follow me. We're going to find out what's behind all this whaling business.
Quiet, Bullet. Quiet, fella.
Oh, Roy, we seem to be right on top of it. I'm scared.
You know, Roy, I am too.
Well, I was, but I'm not now. Look.
Hey, there's a little hole in the top of the cave and the light's coming through it.
That's right. Now look again. Can you see a cord leading down?
Why, yes, I see it.
Now, I'll turn on the flashlight. Hey, what's that on the end of the string?
Well, I'll be a busted cylinder head. It's a saw.
A saw?
Right. It sure is. A musical saw. That's the whale in the Wailing Gold Mine.
Oh, Roy, gee, I feel better now.
And someone sets it vibrating and drops it down. In the echoes of this big cave, well, that's all there is to it.
Then somebody's got to be up there playing that burn saw.
Right. And I'm getting an idea who it is.
You're getting an idea who it is, eh? Well, aren't you smart? You came to see what you could see, and you saw a saw.
Why, Nugget Norman, maybe you think this is a joke, but I don't.
Well, you don't, hey? Well, I do. I told you two fellas that you'd be sorry if you stole my gold.
We haven't touched your gold. Now, how did you get the boulder across the mouth of this cave?
I told you I'd get help.
Well, get some help and get us out of here.
Well, I don't know. I trust the little lady, but I don't trust you two, Jaspers. So I'll deal with the little lady. How about it, ma'am? Want me to let you out?
Oh, of course we do.
All right. All of you tie your guns on the string, and I'll pull them up with my saw.
Are we going to do it, Roy?
Well, we haven't got much choice right now.
All of them now, and no monkey business.
All right. All the guns are tied on.
Yeah, that's a ticket. Now up goes the string. Well, little lady, I guess when I come into your restaurant, you never heard of Corky Lewis's Wailing Gold Mine, had you?
Look, let's save the talk till later.
Yeah, that's what I say. You got our guns, and you can have the gold, and that ought to just about close the subject.
Please, Mr. Norman, you promised you'd get the boulder moved.
Yeah, I did it that, and I'm not one to go back on a promise to a lady. Only my name ain't Nugget Norman. You folks have had the honor of being outsmarted by the smartest fella in the West. I'm Corky Lewis.
How about those grape nuts flakes? They are so good, good for you too. The 2 minute
energy works for you. So how about them? How about them? How about Grape Nuts Flakes?
Yep, how about those Grape Nuts Flakes? Take an old hand's advice, partners. Tomorrow, when you roll out of your bunk, corral a bowl full of that great energy-giving cereal, Grape Nuts Flakes. Grape Nuts Flakes are called the great 2-minute energy cereal because 2 minutes after you polish off a bowl full, their powerhouse whole wheat energy starts to go to work for you. That's the kind of quick energy you fellas and gals need. You'll go for Grape Nuts Flakes sugar-roasted flavor. It's delicious. So ask Mom to get you Grape Nuts Flakes, the 2-minute energy cereal. Look for Roy's picture on the front of the package. Dale, Roy, and Pat, trapped in the Halloween gold mine by an immovable boulder, find that the mysterious wailing is nothing more frightening than a musical saw. They find, too, that their captor, the old rascal who sold Dale the map, is none other than Corky Lewis, famous confidence man of earlier Western days.
All right, Louie, roll it away.
Who's he talking to?
Well, he said he had help, but he's got to have more than one man to work like that.
Well, Corky wasn't so tough to handle after all.
Oh, of course he wasn't. I told you he was a nice old man. He just must have gotten off on the wrong foot somehow.
I'll believe that when we're back in Paradise Valley.
Well, he's letting us out anyway.
Let's just say I'm showing you the daylight, sort of temporary-like. Now, don't none of you move unless you want to dance a jig to the tune of the lead from your own shooting irons. Come along, Louie.
Roy, look!
Hey, that's three men. That's three men all packed into one frame.
There they are, Louie. The only people who ever found the gold I hid here 50 years ago.
You want me to take care of them, eh, Mr. Corky?
Yeah, not just yet, Louie. Not just yet. Now, young lady, I've been giving your case a lot of thought.
Well, put those guns down, little man. They're dangerous.
You bet they are. To you. Well, now, I'll tell you. I've been making myself a real nice little living ever since I got out of prison. The way I've been doing it is I've been selling maps. The maps never lead any place, but somehow you folks got lucky and found the place I keep my gold.
That's your gold, huh?
You bet it is. I put it here 50 years ago, and it's paid me big interest ever since. I'd be glad to let the little lady go home, and I wouldn't even care to cause you fellas any harm. Only trouble is, you're on to my racket, and I'm too old to look for another job. Well, I'm just going to have Louie roll the boulder back and leave you here while I go on selling maps.
Say, Corky, if you're going to keep on using that whaling saw, you ought to find a way to play it so you wouldn't have to pull it up and down. Want me to show you something?
What do you mean? You a musician?
Sure, sort of.
All right. What do I do?
Give me a piece of cord.
Give me a piece of cord, Louie. And remember, Rogers, your own guns are looking right at you every minute.
Sure, I know.
Here's the rope. Don't try no funny business.
Yeah, go ahead, Rogers. Show me what you're going to show me.
All right. You have the rope tied to one end of the saw so it just dangled down.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd tie the cord on each end, the way I'm holding it, why, then you could take it and snatch two guns right out of a man's hand.
Yeah, oh, my wrist. Louie, get him. Get all of them.
Pat, grab those guns and grab Corky.
Boy, look out!
You snap guns away from Mr. Corky. I snap every bone in your body.
Oh, boy. I know how to fight a big lug like you, Louie. It doesn't feel so good in the stomach, does it?
You dodge like mosquito. You hit like mule.
You're getting him, Roy. He's dropping his arm.
You bet, and we'll see what his jaw can take, too.
Oh, Roy, you knocked him out. You knocked that big bruiser out.
I was pretty lucky. Because if he had just been a little taller, I'd never could have reached his glass jaw.
Rogers, I need a man like you on my staff. Why don't we forget this whole thing and talk business?
I'm not listening to you, Corky. Nobody will listen to you again, except maybe your fellow inmates in prison. Now, Pat, we've got to figure out a way to get these fellows back to town.
Well, Nellie Bell's a mighty sturdy old gal. Let's go.
Now, wait a minute. Aren't you forgetting a certain bag of nuggets that belongs to me? I told you this trip wouldn't be a wild goose chase, and we all got what we came after.
We all got what we came after? What do you mean?
Well, you insisted on tracking down the man who sold me the map, and you did it.
Huh?
And Pat said he couldn't wait to find a gold mine that wails, and he found one.
Huh?
And I had a very special reason for wanting to get hold of a couple of $1,000. Thanksgiving is less than a month away, and I'm going to see that every poor family within 50 miles of Mineral City has the biggest turkey dinner they ever had.
Pat, I don't know about women. I'll declare I just don't know about them.
That's all for now, folks. This is Roy Rogers saying to all of you from all of us, goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you. See you next week.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
The Roy Rogers Show was brought to you tonight by Post Grape Nuts Flakes, the great two-minute energy cereal. Grape Nuts Flakes is the cereal Roy likes best for strength and energy. Look for the picture of Roy and Trigger on the front of the package. The Roy Rogers Show can be heard again next week at this same time with Pat Brady, Dale Evans, and the King of the Cowboys himself, Roy Rogers. An Art Brush production written and directed by Fran Van Hartisfeld with music by Milton Charles. Handy, Dandy, and Candy, the three little honey bears you see on the front of every Sugar Crisp package, want me to remind you, this is National Honey Week. Yes, and a good way to celebrate is to discover that delicious sugar and honey-coated treat, Sugar Crisp. As a cereal, it's dandy. For snacks, it's so handy. Or eat it like candy, right out of the package. It's a honey of a treat, any way you eat it. This week, National Honey Week, try Post Sugar Crisp. Featured in today's cast were Frank Hemingway, Cliff Arquette, and Ben Weldon. This is Art Ballinger speaking for Post Grape Nuts Flakes. Stay tuned in for the latest news brought to you by...
Now, I certainly hope you enjoyed that story. You were listening to The Wheeling Gold Mine from The Roy Rogers Show, first heard the evening of Thursday, October 30th, 1952, on NBC Radio. I always enjoy anything by Roy Rogers, be it his movies, TV shows, songs, or his radio programs. Next, we're going to hear another awesome Halloween episode. Father Knows Best was on the air from August 25, 1949 until November 19, 1953, on NBC. The episodes revolved around the Anderson family, who, quote, portrayed middle-class family life in the Midwest. In today's episode, the Andersons get lost after Jim takes a shortcut while heading home from a weekend outing in the country. The episode, titled Spooky Cemetery, was first heard at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 26, 1950, on NBC. Let the spooks begin.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by Maxwell House, the coffee that's bought and enjoyed by more people than any other brand of coffee at any price. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop. All us other chillen, when the supper things is done, we set around the kitchen fire and has the mostest fun. A listen to the witch tales that Annie tells about, and the goblin that gets you if you don't watch out. It's Halloween in Springfield, and the white frame house on Maple Street looks dark and deserted. Maybe that's because it is dark and deserted. The Andersons, you see, are heading home after a weekend in the country with their friends, the Palmers. And at the moment we find them, that is, their car is parked on a muddy and rain-spattered road between... How am I supposed to know where they are? They don't even know themselves, like this.
What does the sign say, Bud?
I don't know. It's dark out here.
Well, light a match.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's the matter with that boy. He doesn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain.
If he did, he couldn't read the sign, could he, dear?
Hmm? Hmm. Can you see it now, Bud?
Yeah.
Well, what does it say?
No trespassing.
That's a great help. All right, come on back.
Okay.
Daddy.
What is it, Kathy?
My feet are cold.
Well, put them in your pocket.
Mother.
Jim, that wasn't very nice.
She's done nothing but complain for the last 3 hours. She's hungry, she's sleepy, she's tired, she's cold.
Father.
Yes, Betty.
So am I.
Fine, I'll make a note of it.
Boy, it's sure wet out here.
Well, get in and close the door. Don't just stand there.
Shove over, will you, Betty?
Bud, you're getting me all wet.
You poor thing. How would you like to get out every 2 minutes and look at a dopey sign?
Bud, stop complaining and shut the door.
I'm not complaining, Dad, but just because she gets a few drops of water on...
Shut the door!
Holy cow.
Once we get back on the main road, I'll have you home in 30 minutes.
That's what you said 2 hours ago.
Well, I'm certainly not going to change my mind now. If you hadn't spent so much time lollygagging with the Palmer boy, we wouldn't have had to take this shortcut.
Shortcut? Huh?
What was that?
Oh, nothing, Dad. I was just thinking.
Well, stop thinking out loud. This is a very good shortcut. If I can ever find it.
Oh, dear, it's too bad this had to happen. It was such a nice weekend, wasn't it, Jim?
Yes.
The Palmers are wonderful people, aren't they?
Oh, they're nice people, all right. But Will didn't have to knock himself out that way.
He was merely trying to be pleasant.
He scared me.
Oh, he didn't really, Kathy. He was just having fun.
Some fun, you bet. Ha-cha.
Betty.
Well, let's face it, Margaret. Just because it's Halloween, he didn't have to have ghosts popping out of the closet every time he opened the door.
And I was scared. I don't like ghosts.
Oh, Kathy, for the 8 millionth time, there's no such thing as a ghost.
There isn't?
No.
Well, you just said he had them in all the closets.
He had sheets in all the closets.
You mean they weren't real live ghosts?
There is no such thing as a real live ghost.
How about a real dead ghost?
Betty, you keep out of this.
I was only trying to help.
You've helped quite enough, thank you. You and Marshall, the mechanical wizard.
Now what did we do?
The gas gauge doesn't work, the radio doesn't work, nothing works.
Marshall said it just needed a fuse.
Marshall said. He works 1 week at a filling station, and that makes him an expert mechanic.
Jim, how do you suppose Will did that thing with the bridge table?
What thing?
Well, where the bridge table floated in the air. It was very clever.
I don't know. I suppose he had wires hooked on it or something.
I didn't see any wires. There's another sign.
Where?
Over there.
Well, maybe now we'll find out where we are. Bud?
Oh, no, Dad. Do I have to go out again?
A little rain isn't going to hurt you.
But I'm wet clear through now.
Then you can't get any wetter. Go ahead, Bud.
Holy cow. What they need in this family is a seeing-eye duck.
Daddy!
Now what?
If there aren't any ghosts, why do people say there are?
Because they don't have anything better to talk about.
I know you don't believe in those things, Jim, but there was a chair in my grandmother William's bedroom.
And it rocked back and forth and back and forth.
It certainly did.
You've told me about it 8,000 times, and there's still a logical explanation for it.
Maybe the termites were pacing up and down.
Betty, that isn't funny.
The floor was probably crooked, or the chair was standing in a draft. It could have been anything. But it was not being rocked by a ghost.
I'm scared.
Dad.
What's the matter, Bud?
Hey, Dad, you know what?
Don't stand out there in the rain. Get inside.
Okay, move over, will you, Betty?
Oh, you're a pest.
Well, Bud?
What?
What did you find out?
Hmm? Oh. Well, remember the sign that said Bensonville, 12 miles? And you said now you knew where you were?
What about it?
That's it.
What?
Oh, Jim.
You mean it's the same sign?
Sure. On the bottom it says Blossom Loves Rocky. With a skull and crossbones.
Bensonville.
Father, we were here 2 hours ago.
Jim Anderson.
Margaret, it was an honest mistake. When I took the right turn, I guess I should have taken the left, that's all.
Kathy said we should have taken the left turn.
Since when does a 9-year-old child know more about roads than I do?
Now.
Well, if you're going to be insulting about it...
If you'd only stop someone and ask...
Like who? We haven't seen a soul since we left Mansfield, and that was 3 hours ago. Now what's wrong with a fool motor?
Maybe you flooded it, Dad. Pull way out on the choke.
Bud, would you like to drive?
Okay.
No, stay right there. Right.
But you just said...
I was driving cars before you were born, and I can drive rings around you right now.
Well, sure, but...
Father, is the switch on?
The switch is on. Contact Roger, Wilco, Wahoo, only it won't start. Now, are you happy?
Jim, you're losing your temper.
I'm not losing my temper. I'm calm. I'm cool. And I'd like to take Marshall Palmer and stuff him down the nearest well.
Why blame it on Marshall? He was only trying to help.
The two of you fussed around with this car for 2 hours and you've wrecked it. Does it take 2 hours to put gas in a car?
Gas? You didn't say to put gas in the car.
What?
Well, we just checked the tires and polished the chrome and you didn't say to put gas in it.
Oh, Margaret, no.
Betty, how could you have done a thing like that?
Well, I didn't know he wanted us to get gas.
Margaret, I've been a good husband and a good father, but so help me...
Daddy, I saw it. There's a ghost. Oh, Daddy, I saw
it. Kathy, stop it.
Oh.
Margaret.
Kathy, stop choking your father, please.
Oh, but I saw it, Mommy. It was big and white, and it had big, long wings.
Mother!
Are you all right, Jim?
I don't know. Oh. I think she's been taking lessons from Strangler Lewis.
I don't see any ghosts.
It was over there, Bud. It had three heads and a long white beard, and I saw it out the window.
Hey, there is something.
It's the ghost! Oh, Daddy!
Now, just a minute. Bud?
I don't think it's a ghost, but I saw something.
I don't see any... Oh, yes.
Father!
Jim?
Now, there's nothing to get upset about, Margaret. It's probably just a billboard or a sign or something.
It's a house.
What?
Sure, now I can see it. It's a two-story house, and it's got pigeons on the roof.
Ghosts with three heads.
Oh.
All that excitement about a farmhouse and a few fluttering pigeons. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves, all of you.
Jim, where are you going?
I'm going to see if I can't wake somebody up. I've got to borrow some gas.
Jim, don't stay away too long, please.
I'll be right back.
Bud, maybe you ought to go with your father.
What for?
Well, it's very dark out there, and he might not be able to find the way.
I don't know the way any better than he does.
Bud, why don't you stop arguing?
I'm not arguing. And I don't see you jumping out in the rain.
Of course not. Girls don't do things like that.
Why not?
They just don't. That's why not.
Boy, is that a racket.
Bud.
I go first. I'm a girl. I get this. I'm a girl. Who takes care of the men?
Girls.
Bud, this is hardly the time for a battle of the sexes.
I wasn't fighting, but good gravy.
Margaret!
Is everything all right, dear?
Honey, it's a house all right, but it isn't exactly what we figured. It's a sort of an empty caretaker's cottage.
What's an empty caretaker? It's a cottage, Dopey, and it's empty.
Oh. Jim, why would a farm have a caretaker's cottage?
Well, that's what I was saying. It isn't exactly a farm. It's a... Well, just figure it's like anything else, that's all.
Jim, what is it?
Well, it's the Pleasant View Cemetery.
Oh, no.
Well, on Halloween night, most of us won't be in quite such a fix. Instead, the pumpkins will glow on the table when the children come in from their chilly rounds, eager for the cookies and donuts and fresh sweet cider. And you know who else will be there to drink a cup or two of steaming coffee? The world's greatest coffee expert. Yes, ma'am, that number one expert will be on hand because he's your husband. Now, we could say we're the experts. Our Maxwell House coffee is America's favorite brand. But we know the final judge is that man of yours. And if you'll pour him a cup of Maxwell House, we're mighty sure he'll say,
"Best coffee I ever tasted."
In fact, if he doesn't, we'll give you your money back. You see, we know there's no coffee tastes like Maxwell House because no coffee's made like Maxwell House. We're proud as can be of that wonderful good-to-the-last-drop flavor. So we'd like you to buy a pound and start serving it to that husband of yours. And if he doesn't say it's the coffee for him, why, you send us the can and unused portion, and we'll gladly refund the price you paid. Our address is right on the front of that familiar blue tin. Find out just how much the world's greatest coffee expert, your husband, enjoys Maxwell House coffee. Always good. To the last drop.
A few chill moments have come and gone, and we find the Andersons, brave little band, huddled on the porch of the caretaker's cottage. The rain keeps pouring down on the battered roof, and in the eaves, pigeons flap their restive wings. Or is it a belfry? Or are they bats? Well, anyway, the Andersons aren't worried, not in the least. Chins up, shoulders back, they march fearlessly into whatever awaits them, like this.
I don't want to go in.
You, Kathy, there's nothing to be afraid of.
I don't care. I don't want to go in.
Well, would you rather stay out here on the porch all night and freeze to death?
Oh, I'm scared.
Kathy, I don't know what's gotten into you. This isn't just a cemetery. It's a monument of which we should all be proud. Those are the graves of Civil War heroes. Men who died for their country.
Father!
What were you saying, dear?
Let's see if we can get inside.
Dad.
Any luck, Bud?
Nope. I tried the windows on the ground floor, and they're all locked.
Oh, fine.
I found a shovel out in back, though.
That's nice. If we can't dig our way in, at least it'll make a pleasant souvenir of the evening, won't it?
Well, I just thought if there's a shovel around, maybe that means somebody lives here.
Thank you, Sam Spade.
Say, that's a good one. Sam Spade, because I found a shovel. Get it, Betty?
I got it, and you can have it.
What's the matter with her?
I want to go home.
We can't go home, Kathy. There isn't any gas in the car. And I'm not walking 12 miles in the rain to get any either.
Jim, we can't just stand here all night.
I have no intention of standing here all night. First, let's see if we can't...
Jim!
It's just the door opening, honey. That's all.
Who opened it? I want to go home.
I hear one more peep out of you, so help me.
Jim, what happened to Bud?
I don't know. He was right. Bud!
Mother!
You want me, Dad?
How'd you get down there?
I don't know. I guess I fell off the porch. Oh. Who opened the door, Dad?
How do I know? But it's open, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
It used to be open.
Oh, that's funny.
It's locked, huh?
No, I just like to rattle doorknobs.
How could it be open one minute and locked the next minute?
The wind, that's all it is. The wind blew it shut.
Who blew it open?
Betty, stop asking silly questions.
What's silly about that?
Bud, let's see if...
Jim, Father.
Never mind, Bud, it's open again.
Holy... How?
All right, everybody. Let's get inside before the darn thing changes its mind again.
Jim, if this is a haunted house...
Margaret.
I don't want to go into the haunted house.
Kathy, stop being ridiculous. There's no such thing as a haunted house.
Jim, I know you don't believe in ghosts and haunted houses.
Margaret, you don't either. No sensible person does.
Of course, dear. But why did the bridge table float in the air at the Palmers'?
It was a trick, Margaret, just like all the other stupid things Will Palmer did. Tapping on the floor and weird voices. You saw how he did those.
But he didn't explain about the table.
He forgot, that's all. And if you don't mind, I'd just as soon forget, too. Let's go inside. All right, Kathy.
I'm only a little girl. I'm only 9 years old.
Angel, nothing's going to hurt you.
Turn on the lights, Bud.
Mother, is it all right if I just wait in the car?
You're staying right here with us. How about it, Bud?
Nothing happens.
Well, we'll get a light somehow. Now, what's the matter?
I just walked into a spider web. Ew.
Will you please stop complaining and close the door?
Jumping creepers. All I wanted to do was get into the sixth grade.
Kathy.
Dad, there's an oil lamp over here.
Fine, now we're getting somewhere.
But there isn't any oil in it.
Bud.
Yes, Dad?
See what else you can find that isn't any good.
Isn't any good for what?
Just... Never mind.
Well, gosh, I was only trying to...
Mother, now I'll settle for the fifth grade.
What's wrong with that stupid door? Bud?
Don't look at me, Dad. I wasn't any place near it.
I know you weren't. I was merely... Oh, here's what it is. It's just a loose screw.
I knew there was a screw loose someplace.
You see this, Margaret? The latch is unfastened. When the wind blows, the latch slides over and the door opens.
Why couldn't you open it before?
Because the latch gets hung up when the door bangs shut. And stop bothering me. There's nothing mysterious about it.
I'll be happy to finish the fourth grade.
Jim, it's very cold in here.
Yeah, kind of clammy.
Wouldn't it be warmer if we all just sat in the car?
We'll get a fire started in here, and that'll take care of everything.
Jim?
Honey, there's nothing in here that can hurt anybody. A nice, friendly fire in the fireplace, it'll make all the difference in the world. Now, how about getting some wood, Bud?
Here's a whole pile of newspapers.
Good.
Hey, you know who's going to run for president? Coolidge.
But let's get the fire started and stop with the jokes.
What jokes?
Just... Oh, get some wood.
Jim, I know it isn't anything to be worried about, but that door gives me the creeps.
Well, I'll fix that. Get this chair wedged under the doorknob and... There we are. Now I'd like to see it open. Come on, Bud, let's get going with the wood.
Where do I get wood?
I don't care where you get it, just get it.
Good grief.
Well, that's a novelty.
Daddy!
Kathy, you know I can't stand that.
What?
Stop whining.
I wasn't whining, Daddy.
Hand me some of that newspaper, Betty, will you please?
What a time to read.
Betty, help your father build the fire.
Okay.
Kathy!
Yes, Daddy?
You're whining again.
I didn't even make a sound.
Here's the paper, Father.
Thank you. We'll have some light in here in just about 2 seconds.
How's this for wood, Dad?
Fine, Bud. There we are. Ah, that's a little better, isn't it? Let's have the wood, Bud.
Father!
Jim?
It's an owl, Margaret. That's all it is, just an owl.
I don't like owls.
You don't like anything.
Jim, what is it?
Smoke. Doesn't seem to be going up the chimney. Oh. Must have their nest up there.
Want me to open a window, Dad?
Yeah, I guess I best...
Father! Jim! The chair! It's gone! I want to go home.
Now, just a minute. There must be a little logical explanation. Chairs don't just walk off by themselves. Do they, Bud?
This one didn't. You just put it in the fireplace.
What?
Well, you said you didn't care where I got the wood.
Jim, the smoke is getting awful.
Bud, open the window at the top of the stairs. See if we can't get a little cross ventilation in here.
Bud, do this. Bud, do that. Sounds like the only name you ever heard of was Bud.
What was that?
I said I have to open the window. Hey.
Father, I want to go home.
Bud, what is it?
It was a cat. I guess I stepped on its tail.
Well, stop fooling around and open the window.
Oh, Father.
Daddy. I have a wonderful idea.
Let's go home.
Jim.
It's a dog, Margaret, that's all. Just a dog howling at the moon.
Dogs howl when somebody dies.
Now, there's a pleasant bit of information.
I'm only a little girl.
Kathy, please.
I'm not having a bad enough time. People jumping every time a dog howls or an owl hoots or a door squeaks.
Dad. What's the matter, Dad?
Oh, Bud. Why do you have to sneak up and back of people like that?
I didn't sneak up and back of you.
You certainly did.
Jim. What's that?
A cow. Just a plain, ordinary cow.
What's a cow doing up this time of night?
Looking for another cow. It's Rosa.
Jim, all those peculiar noises.
They aren't peculiar noises. We're out in the country. And they're just plain, ordinary noises.
But they sound so weird.
Father!
What's the matter?
We heard something.
You're imagining things, all of you. You heard the wind whistling through the trees.
It didn't sound like the wind.
All right, what did it sound like?
Like that.
Well, that's nothing. It's just a board creaking, that's all.
Jim, we've got to get out of here.
How? Where are we going to go?
I don't care where. Let's just go.
I'm only 9 years old.
All right, Kathy, we'll leave. We'll leave right now. Not that there's anything to be afraid of.
Father, it's coming closer. It's a ghost. It's a big white ghost.
Oh, boy.
Jim.
All right, we've got you covered. Stay where you are.
Are you folks? Folks?
Oh.
Yes, we're folks. Who are you?
Oh, I'm the new caretaker, just moved in tonight, and I'm not sure I like this job.
Jim.
You see, there wasn't anything to be afraid of.
Maybe there ain't now, but I was sure scared before. You see, for a while, I figured maybe you was ghosts.
When you buy coffee, you certainly want to get the most in flavor for your money. And you know the world's greatest coffee expert can help you find it. Yes, ma'am. Just set a steaming cup of Maxwell House coffee in front of your husband. He's the number one expert. Watch him smile at the first sip. Listen to him say,
"Best coffee I ever tasted."
Right then, you'll know you found the flavor. You'll know that Maxwell House is your coffee buy. Bring home a pound of Maxwell House tomorrow. See how much your husband enjoys every cupful. And count all the truly good cups of coffee you get from just one of those familiar blue tins. We think you'll be convinced that Maxwell House coffee gives you the most for your money. Because it's always good to the last drop.
The horrible night is over at last. The Andersons are home, safe and happy, and as they dig into their breakfast cereal, Jim tells them exactly how foolish they've been, like this.
I've never been so ashamed of anyone in my entire life. Why, you acted as though we were living in the Middle Ages.
I wasn't scared, Dad.
You certainly were.
I certainly wasn't.
You were just as scared as anybody, wasn't he, Kathy?
He wasn't as scared as I was. I was real scared.
Of what? Everything had a logical explanation, didn't it?
Jim.
Hello, Margaret. You finally decided to come to the party, huh? You haven't said a word since we sat down at the table.
Jim, there was a phone call before you got up.
Oh, who was it?
Will Palmer. He said he hadn't been able to sleep a wink all night.
Good. Serves him right. What did he want?
He wants you to call him.
What for? We just saw him yesterday.
He wants you to tell him how you did that trick where the bridge table floats in the air.
Oh, no.
Tell the kids it's a hot favorite with Hoppy. That's hot post wheat meal. And if you have trouble getting the youngsters to eat a hot cereal, just tell them how much Hopalong Cassidy loves that rich brown hot post wheat meal. Post wheat meal is chock full of good, solid nourishment. It has a wonderful nut-like flavor. It cooks in just 3.5 minutes. And tell the kids it's Hoppy's favorite. Hot post wheat meal. You'll see, you'll all agree, it's the best hot cereal you ever ate.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Barkey and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Dragnet, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Robert Young again, reminding you to stay tuned for Dragnet on NBC.
I hope that episode wasn't too frightening for you. I think it certainly fit the bill for a Halloween-themed episode. You just heard Spooky Cemetery from the series Father Knows Best. That episode was first heard on the evening of Thursday, October 26, 1950, on NBC Radio. I don't know about you, but I think a frightening cemetery is a perfect setting for a Halloween episode. Our time together is almost up for today. If you'd like to send me feedback or requests, please do so. My email is opr@telus.net, T-E-L-U-S, and my postal address is Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.